Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Yisrael Pesach Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights to the Daf series. This year is on Mesech HaSukkah, There's no Daf Samach Dalet in Mesech HaSukkah. And the topic is when the Arava beats Shofar. Our Gemara starts a long discussion based on the words of Rav Acha Bar Chanina. And here's where the introduction comes in. And it starts like this: Ki asa Rav Acha Bar Chanina midaroma. When Rav Acha Bar Chanina came from the south, Aisi Masnisa Bidei, he brought along with him the following Tanaic teaching. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Baaloscha, V'nei Aaron Kohanim Yizku B'Chatzotzros, and the children of Aaron the Kohanim should blow the trumpets. Now the Gemara wants to know, the Braisa wants to know, She'ein Tabulomar Yizku. Why does that have to say that they will blow this katzrotzros? It says it at another place as well. So the Gemara says, "Umal tov malomar yizku'u, hakol lefi hamusafim token." This was the brisa. It says you blow according to the musaf. Now who taught alai? He taught it. Who amrali? And he explained what it means. Lomar to teach us shetokim akol musaf umusaf, that we blow a different set of katzrotzros or a different set of blows or blasts for each and every musaf that we're going to be bringing. So this opinion, in a nutshell, is that when we have multiple days of Kedusha that occur on the same day, such as this morning, when we had Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos on the same day, there would not only be two different musafim brought that day, but there'll be also two sets of tekios when each musaf was offered. Ultimately, this opinion is disproved on Daf Nun Hei. But what is this whole question based on? So Rav Soloveitchik brings down the following idea in his Rishimo Shiur. And the Rav says the following. First I'll read, I'll paraphrase it, and then I'll read it inside. Clearly, we're going to be bringing both sets of karbanos together. As we know, when we daven Musaf on such a day, we mention both days in our Shmona Esrei. Like we did today, in the Atad Yisarta formulation, we said, Bes Musfei Yom HaShabbos HaZeh V'Yom Rosh HaChodesh HaZeh. However, we know, we don't dive into Shimon Esrei's, but instead say one Amida with both aspects. As the aforementioned, Yom HaShabbos V'Yom Rosh HaChodesh HaZeh. And in Mikdash also, we would view both sets of korbanos as one big korban, not two separate entities that are combined. Each part of this korban is coming from an independent chiyuv, which is merged into one on the special day. So what do we have? Instead of bringing two korban musafs, we view it as one big korban musaf with two different parts. If you want to say, so what? What difference does it make? It sounds like just a matter of semantics. So we've said many times in this series that there's more than just a matter of semantics when it comes to dissecting a hakira, but rather there are nafkaminas. One nafkamina, of course, would be how many tefillos we get to have them. Times you don't have a base of mikdash. Or if you're outside the base of mikdash, because we know, on Daf Nun Gimel, I mentioned that they would daven a certain type of tefillah musaf that you would have. But how do we understand this particular machlokas over here? So, decide to say that we blow one set of chatz of tekios for all the musafim together, or we blow each set. Each musaf gets its own set. So the Rav says, on one hand, we can look at the following. You have a korban musaf, and you have tekios. What is the mechayiv, or the force that creates the obligation to blowing those tekios? Is it the fact that it is musaf in general? Or do we say it's this particular musaf? Now again, you're going to tell me, what is the difference? It kind of sounds very semantical. So let's take a look at like this. We can look at the tekios as an extension of the mechayiv. In other words, since both Shabbos and Yom Tov contribute to the obligation of korbanos on this day, so too we would also need to have a representation of both days in the Shia, in the Shira that's sung, as well as the tekios that are sounded. But the other way to understand it is that simply no. The tekios are an accompaniment to the korban that's brought. And it makes no difference as to whether the korban is composed of two parts, the korban is composed of one part, the korban is even composed of three parts. Like you would have in a situation where the first day of Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. You would have three parts. You have Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Chodesh. So each time there was a Musaf, we had the Chiyuv and Shir and Tekiyos. This Chiyuv is that there needs to be a song and a sound from Karbanos that are brought. It makes no difference how many Mechayim that the Karban come from. Rather, it's just the fact that this is a Karban. This is exactly the Shaila the Gemara has. And the resulting machlokas. You want to know what's the difference? The difference would be how many tekiyos do you have? Again, if you want to say that the mechayev is, of the tekiyos is bringing a korban musaf, so it doesn't make a difference how many aspects of this musaf are there, there's only going to be one set. But if you want to say the mechayev is each and every musaf, so then each and every musaf, when you have a day of multiple musafim, so that's where you would have multiple sets. And I'll just read you some of the words of the Rav, and then we'll continue on with the next part of this year. Quoting of Rav and Sefer, it says, "V'nir mikach yisod chadash." There is a new idea. "V'hu kishayish beis korbanos musafim mitzarfim in lechad korban." When you have two different korban musafs that are joining into one korban. "Ubeis chiyuvin nisei hayayin mitzarfim nisachet." Now, when you have also two obligations of pouring wine on the Mizbeach, but yet we go ahead and convert and bind them into one, the conclusion of the opinion that disagrees with Rav Acha, his whole Mizbeachim, the Chad Karban Musaf, since they're all going to form into one Karban Musaf, Tokim Seder Echad, Bishar Mark Shira Acha. Meidach, the opposite way, Rav Acha sover the hokum baser hamechayin v'lo baser chalos hakarbon. We go after what generates the chiyuv and not the actual carbon itself. From the achar sheish beis chiyuv v'karbon, achas machmas Shabbos, achas machmas chiyuv Rosh Chodesh, the Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Yesh beis shiros, the yesh beis mechayim shel hakarbon. That he done hokum baser chalos hakarbon. We go after what we're viewing as the carbon, the chadu v'lo baser hachiyuv. Okay, so that's what we have as the machlokas over there. Now the Gemara continues on by bringing several questions in Rav Acha. From the fact that our Mishnah mentions that the maximum number of tekiyos that can be brought on a given day are 48, something which is not compatible with this opinion. The case the Gemara asks from, or one of the cases the Gemara asks from, is Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. When Erev Pesach comes out on a Shabbos, which has three from opening the gates, nine from each Tamid, nine from the Musaf, bringing us to 30, as well as the tekiyos that were said during the Hallel that was brought by each group on when they offer the Karban Pesach, which comes out to either 21 or 27, depending on the machlokas and the Gemara. Either way you look at it, we're dealing with a number of 51 or a number of 57. So, what you have over there is, this goes against what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says the maximum is 48. Why do we not go ahead and list this day of Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos, which has a lot more than 48, and actually even has 51 or 57? That's the question of the Gemara. One of the questions that we ask on this of Rav Acha. And the Gemara gives an answer and says, this is not such a problem. And why is this not such a problem? Is because when the Mishnah lists the days that you have in the 48 tekiyos on Friday during Sukkot, which we have. That's something which happens every year. Erev Pesach, Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos is something which doesn't happen every year. In fact, in our calendar system, it's the least frequent of the permutations by which Yom Tovim could come out. I believe it's 14 times out of every 100 years. But there could be a lot of spacing. I remember as a kid never seeing it. And then look back at the calendar, and from the years 1981 to 1994, it didn't even happen. I believe then we went from 1994 to 2005. Then from 2005 to 2008, and then 2008 to 2021. So you see, this does not happen all that often. So in that case, we're not going to be mentioning it. However, the Gemara goes and asks the question on this. From that very mission that we have in Sukkah, because when it comes to Sukkah, we brought the case of Erev Shabbos Shabbosot Chag, that on the Friday during Sukkot, you have 48. And the Gemara wants to tell us, the Gemara really wants to ask that, who says that you have to have a Friday in the middle of Sukkot, or a Friday in Kol Moed Sukkot? So you're going to tell me, excuse me, what are you talking about? Sukkot itself is 7 days, and you have to have at least one Friday. So there is one possibility. What's the one possibility? The possibility would be that the first day of Sukkot would be on Erev Shabbos, that Sukkot would start on a Friday. And if Sukkot starts on a Friday, we're not going to be having the simplest day of Shabbat, because that doesn't take place until Chol HaMoed. So therefore, it is possible not to have a Friday of in the middle of Sukkot, or as we would say, Erev Shabbos Shabbosochachan. So why is this even mentioned in the Mishnah in the first place? So the Gemara gives an answer. And the Gemara's answer is that we have to take into account that the way that once the calendar was fixed, we do not have Sukkot coming out on a Friday. Since such a case, and the calendar was fixed that we manipulate things, that even if the Edom came and it should have worked out that Sukkot should be on a Friday, the calendar has been set, or the rules have been set, that if that such a Metzias exists, they would add an extra day and push off the first day of Sukkot to Shabbos. And in fact, the halachas were done in Shulchan Aruch for the time that after they were in the Kaddish of Piriyas, and it says in Siman Tov Chav Ches, Sif Aleph, Eilu Hayomim She'im Kovim Behem HaMoadim, these are the days that we don't have the Yom Tovim on. And the first example we give is Lo Adu Rosh, that Rosh Hashanah could not fall out on a Sunday, Wednesday, or a Friday. So that is why, excuse me, that is why the Gemara tells us that we don't have to be worried about Friday being the first day of Sukkot, because our calendar worked, it's not going to be that way. And why is it not going to be that way? Because doing the simple mathematics, Sukkot being on Tesvav Tishrei will always fall on the same day of the week as Rosh Hashanah, which is on Aleph Tishrei. Now, why is this the case? Why is it that we do have the rule of Lo Adu Rosh? So there happen to be halachic issues which come up in each of these permutations. Let's take the do part, meaning where Rosh Hashanah would either fall out on a Wednesday or on a Friday. So having this means that Yom Kippur is either going to be on a Friday or a Sunday, because if you do the math, Rosh Hashanah is always Aleph. 9 days later, or the Yud is always going to be 2 days in the week after Rosh Hashanah, meaning this past year we had Rosh Hashanah on Monday, Yom Kippur on Wednesday. This coming year, Bezos Hashem, we have Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos and Yom Kippur on Monday. So if Rosh Hashanah is going to be on a Wednesday, that makes Yom Kippur on a Friday. If Rosh Hashanah is on a Friday, that makes Yom Kippur on a Sunday. What's the issue with this? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us this can't work for the following two reasons. It's brought down by Rashi. It's either Mishum Yirakya or Mishum Messiah, either because of vegetables or because of corpses. So what does that mean? So let's take a look. Let's just talk about the vegetables. So we're concerned that either people won't have fresh vegetables for after the fast, or on Shabbos. So there are 2 days that one can't pick. And you're going to, because what happens, right? You have to pick, let's say, if Rosh Hashanah would be on a, I'm sorry, if Rosh Hashanah is on a Wednesday, that makes Yom Kippur on a Friday. So you pick your vegetables on Wednesday, and you wouldn't be able to have fresh vegetables for Shabbos because you keep them around, you're not going to be able to prepare them. So you're going to say, wait a second, what about if Yontif is on a Friday? So that's not an issue. If Yontif is on a Friday, you can cook the vegetables and keep them and preserve them through Shabbos. But in this case, there's going to be 2 days where you can't go ahead and do it. The same thing would apply also with if Yontif, if Yom Rosh Hashanah would be on a Friday, Yom Kippur is on a Sunday. Also, you wouldn't be able to have fresh vegetables for the Sunday after the fast. What do we talk about as far as the Nesim are concerned? So there'd be 2 days where we don't bury the dead. As the Gemara in Beitza tells us, one is allowed to bury another person on Yom Tov Sheni, even on Rosh Hashanah. However, this is not the case of Shabbos or Yom Kippur. We can't bury somebody on Shabbos. We can't bury somebody on Yom Kippur. And if Chas V'Shalom, somebody would pass away, so that would leave a body for 2 days, and in the absence of refrigeration, That, of course, could lead to decay and rot and a tremendous lack of kavod ha'meis. So this in mind, we can understand why we don't have Yom Kippur on a Friday or on a Sunday. But what's wrong with having Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday? So to say such a possibility would not allow us to use the Arabos on Hoshana Rabba as it would fall on Shabbos. And we'd have to say the reason would be, for the same reason we don't take a shofar, the same reason we don't take, excuse me, a lulav, the idea of Shema Yavirenu, Dalet Amos, Brishus HaRabba. However, this explanation seems to defy logic. Here, we're willing to move Rosh Hashanah and just so we go ahead and don't miss the mitzvah of Hoshana Rabbah. So we don't miss the banging of the Arabos on Hoshana Rabbah. Banging of Arabos on Hoshana Rabbah, as we say in the tefillah that we mention after we do it, it's a minhag neviim. It's a custom. Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a deraisa. Shofar on lulav is also a shofar on lulav. Lulav on the first day of Sukkot is also a deraisa. And yet, when it comes out in the calendar, as it does this year, Bezos Hashem coming up, we don't push off Rosh Hashanah so we can do the mitzvah deraisa of shofar. We don't push off Sukkot so we can do the mitzvah deraisa of lulav. Yet we push off Shabbos so we can do the minhag of chibur aravos, beating the aravos on the ground. How is this possible? What is going on over here? So the Arsham is showing who explain this. True. We might be missing the Deoraisa mitzvah, but there are other days that we do the mitzvah. And we're not worried about people forgetting that such a mitzvah exists. And you're going to tell me, well, how can we lose the mitzvah Deoraisa? So I'll give you an answer, a very simple answer. It's true. It's true we might be missing a mitzvah Deoraisa of lulav, we might be missing a Deoraisa of shofar, but we're also showing a tremendous kavod for Shabbos. And we're enhancing the mitzvah deraisa of Shabbos. So you do have a certain type of a kiyum. But if we go ahead and don't have a rava at all, so then people might forget. And just the aforementioned that I've said before, about Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach, Shekhal Yos B'Shabbos, it happens so infrequently, people are always scrambling, what am I supposed to do? I don't remember what I did the last time, it was so long ago. So think of that. You miss a ravos for an entire year. You might not get it for another year after. Sometimes it could be 2 years in a row for all you know. So that's why we didn't want to go ahead and worry about that. But still, while it might be a halakhic reason, we have to understand, well, what is the hashkafa and what's so special about this mitzvah? In fact, or this minhag. In fact, if you look at the four minim of the lulav, so the Medrash tells us that the arabos are the least important of them all. This is a very well-known Medrash that the lulav, so the esrog, which has a taste and a smell, represents Jews with Torah and mitzvos. The lulav, which has a taste, is those who only have Torah. The hadas, which has a smell, are those who only have mitzvos. And the arabos, which have neither, represent the Jew that's completely devoid of all Torah and all mitzvos. And we're making this the center of the day of Hoshana Rabbah. What is going on? What's the idea? So I saw it brought down the name of this Sfas Emes. It's brought down the Shibur of Chaim Eisenman, who quotes this Sfas Emes, and I'm going to read to you the quote as written down by Rabbi Eisenstein. And here's what the Sfas Emes writes. Once you've experienced Yom Kippur, and we've been purified like a newborn baby, there's an awakening amongst every member of Klal Yisrael to follow after Hashem. During this time, we're in a state of halicha, we're movement, and we're moving, and we're moving upward, and we're indeed required to literally move from our homes into the house of the sukkah. End quote. Adding in, sukkah is one of those special mitzvahs where we're completely surrounded by mitzvahs. It's one of the only mitzvahs that we do with our complete entire body. So we spend 7 days in the sukkah, as it says in the Gemara in Sukkah. Go out of your diras keva and move into a diras arai. Getting back to the quote on Hoshana Rabbah, we're now at the end of this period of being in an exalted spiritual state. And that moment has come for us to leave the sukkah and to return the home. The bridge that connects the exalted to the mundane and Hoshana Rabbah is Chibur HaRabbos. Chibur HaRabbos is the physical expression of our prayer to maintain Hashem's presence in our day-to-day existence in the long winter months ahead. End the quote. What does that mean? We're taking the Aravos from above and banging it on the ground. We're asking the Aravos, which represent the lips also, it says in the Medrash, to have this from above should go ahead and influence the ground. Basically, what the Aravos represent is us going to Hashem and saying, we're basically nothing without you. We've had such an amazing connection over Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and now the connection is about to leave, or about to end. Please don't leave us. Please stay with us. We want you to always be with us throughout our life and throughout the winter. So it's for this reason that perhaps we're so concerned about the lowly Arava, as its message is that one stays with us throughout the year. So yes, as we said in the earlier in the title, the Arava does beat the shofar, because the Arava is the last chance, represents that connection that we have, that desire for connection. And that desire is so strong, it would even have us manipulate the time of the year when Rosh Hashanah would come in order for us to do this special minhag. Have a wonderful day, Kol Tov.